Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bob and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
Last hour of the Bump and Stacy show. I'm sitting here with Curtis Rogers. Stacy is in outer space visiting Brian. She sent us pictures.
She got her suit on. Can't really tell who it is because she's got her her visor on.
Yeah, the visor is on. It's pretty impressive though. It's pretty impressive. Hey, if you guys, you got what we need, what you need to know coming up. You got any questions? Text us 866-979-3779 on the Mac and Jack's line. Before the break, we teased it. What is the best and worst case scenario for the offense and for the defense? Do you want to go good or bad first?
Let's go with the good first.
With the good. You're a good type of guy.
I am.
Good news first. I always want the bad news first.
I like the good news because I'm still riding the high off of it when I hear the bad news.
Okay.
And sometimes the bad news outweighs the good news. So you need a little bit in the tank before you withdraw.
See, I'm more like, hit me with the hard stuff, and then the happy stuff will bring me back out of this dark place. But we're going with C. Rogers' approach, and we're going to talk about the good stuff.
Let's go.
Offense or defense now?
Let's go best-case scenario defensively.
Okay. In my eyes, the best-case scenario defensively would be Tariq Woolen has a pick.
Could you imagine the 12s, how riled up they would get if Tariq Woolen comes down with an interception? This guy would already have his name in the Seahawks Ring of Honor prior to their preseason home opener against the Bears next Thursday.
If Tariq Woolen comes down with a pick, I'm going to text you and Stacy. Stacy won't get it because she's out of space right now. Roaming charges are crazy. I'm going to text you guys. There he is. That's all I'm going to say. There he is.
He
is him. Best case scenario is that this defense just flies around and they cause turnovers. They're going to face Mitchell Trubisky to start. We all know Mitch will turn that thing over. Now, will Mitch be a different guy over in Pittsburgh? Mike Tomlin is a great coach, right? Always finds a way to win ball games. Granted, he's had Ben Roethlisberger his whole career as a head coach. So this is unfamiliar territory for him. But what they do have is a good running game and an awesome receiver in Deontay Johnson, who just got paid. Congratulations, young man. But I want to see Tariq Woolen with a pick and this defense cause turnovers and hit the QB hard. I can't imagine, or I can't remember, Rogers, the last time where the defense made a play and I said, ooh.
Yeah, where you wince at how hard somebody got hit.
I want to say Quandre was the last time I saw that he hit somebody pretty hard, but I want to see more of that.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good feeling when your team is the one laying the thunder like that and they're the one sending the message. Because back in the Legion of Boom days, like, guys would be fearful of coming over the middle. And it wasn't just Cam Chancellor. It was Earl who could lay it. It was Sherm who could lay it. All of those guys could really bring it. And if the Seahawks are able to do that in any capacity, maybe even just once or twice, that is going to be huge. The last time I can remember somebody laying a hit on this Seahawks roster where I went, it was a preseason game. I want to say it was 2 years ago or maybe 3 years ago. It was Ugo Amadi who hit a punt returner for the Vikings. Oh my God. That was a stick. Best case scenario for me defensively is seeing the pass rush get after whoever Pittsburgh has dropping back. I want to see guys like Boye Mafe get after the quarterback. I want to see Uchenna Nwosu get after it. As we know, the pass rush has not been up to snuff for the Seahawks in the last couple of years. It has not been the level of what it was when it was Cliff Avril, Michael Bennett, which is obviously tough to replicate considering how talented those guys were during their careers here. But it is imperative that the Seahawks get after the quarterback, especially in today's NFL when games are entirely based on quarterback play, where the most important player on the field is the quarterback. Probably the second most important player or position group are the guys tasked with getting to the quarterback.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's the guys in charge of protecting the quarterback and wide receivers.
You're saying it's all about the quarterback.
It's all about the quarterback. Well, I mean, wide receivers, if you don't have a good quarterback, your numbers aren't going to be there. Yeah. So it is entirely about the quarterback. I want to see the Seahawks make whoever is dropping back from Pittsburgh have a really tough night.
Okay, now let's go over to the offense best-case scenario. Best-case scenario for the offense.
Best-case scenario for this offense is I'm deciding between two. And for me, I think the best-case scenario for the offense is Drew Lock asserts himself as the better.
I was going to ask you which quarterback would you prefer?
I would prefer Drew Lock or Geno Smith. I think the best-case scenario for the Seahawks offense in week one, or really throughout the course of this preseason, is Drew Lock asserts himself as the starting quarterback for this team. Because, like we talked about, it would be ridiculous for the Seahawks to make sure that Drew Lock is included in the package they receive back from Russell Wilson and not see what they have, or not let him get reps with the ones. And to me, I think the best case scenario at the end of the day is seeing Drew Lock out there in week one against Denver based off of his performance in the preseason. Now, I do commend the Seahawks for not just handing him the job and making him compete for it and seeing, like, how bad does this guy want it?
Yeah.
And based off of what we have heard from Drew Lock, it sounds like he wants it. And it sounds like, you know, he is accepting of the quarterback battle because, look, his time in Denver did not end the way I think he had envisioned it or really anybody in that organization did when they took him in the second round and were like, all right, we're going to see what this guy's got, and we're going to hope that he is the guy that can end this vicious quarterback carousel we've been on. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. But you give up your quarterback, you get a quarterback in return, it only makes sense that the Seahawks put him out there as a starting quarterback at some point this season. And that, to me, is the best-case scenario. Do I think it's going to happen? I'm not hopeful about it. I'm not feeling like it's very likely, but to me, in my opinion, the best case scenario is Drew Lock is your starting quarterback in week one. What about you?
Best case scenario for me is that Ken Walker goes out there and does his thug thizzle.
And that was the other one I was debating on going with, because, man, if Ken Walker is that guy,
man. And we've seen it, right? And and that's the thing about the running back position is you can get rookies out there to go out and just tear it up. We saw Najee Harris last year. Saquon Barkley, when he was a rookie, tore it up. Like, it's a legit possibility. Now, I love your best case scenario, too, because if Drew Lock, if you strike gold with Drew Lock, all your answers, all your prayers have been answered. Right. You're looking for a franchise quarterback. You're trying to figure out if it's going to be one of these two or you have to make a move next year. So, yes, I'm with you with the quarterback spot. And I also want to see Ken Walker do his thing. All right. Now we're going to the worst case scenario. Looking at this defense, what is the worst case scenario?
Worst case scenario is Pittsburgh's passing offense in particular has their way with Seattle.
Just goes crazy.
Because, as we've seen over the last couple of years, the passing offense has been it's been dreadful. It really has been. And it is a full team effort on the defensive side of the ball. Pass rush has to be in lockstep with the coverage. If it's not that, and Pittsburgh has no trouble moving the football against Seattle, that to me is going to be the worst case scenario.
Here's the thing too, Rodgers. I'm looking at their wide receiver depth chart. Deontay Johnson, 1,000-yard receiver. We know what he can do. Chase Claypool had a down year last year, but we know he's a baller. Then they have the rookie George Pickens out of Georgia. On paper, these guys look good. Najee Harris, and then you have Mitch Trubisky. On paper, these guys look like they should be able to air it out. Now I'm wondering how aggressive Tomlin and the gang are going to be in this preseason game. I hope they are aggressive because I want to see the secondary tested right now. I want to see these young guys have the opportunity to go ahead and make plays. So my worst case scenario for the defense would be they cannot get off the field. That they are on the field for 10, 11, 12 play drives, and it is just they're tired. They're huffing and puffing. I don't want to see it.
Flashbacks right now, Bump. I'm getting bad flashbacks to the 2020 season and into the 2021 season where the Seahawks are losing the time of possession battle by a significant margin. Like, we're not talking by just a couple minutes. We're talking the Seahawks having the ball for maybe 20 minutes out of a 60-minute game.
Yeah.
We've seen that too often here. I think the Seahawks went, I want to say it was more than a full season's worth of games between the 2020 and 2021 season before they won the time of possession battle, which it's all about the ball here. It's all about controlling the football. And when you're losing the time of possession battle, you're more often than not losing games. It is just not beneficial to allow your defense to stay on the field as long as the Seahawks have over the last couple of years. And part of that is inefficiency on third down with the offense, but also part of that is the defense doing their job as well and getting off the field and stopping the other teams on third down.
It's a team sport.
It is.
Right? You got to help your defense out, and defense has to help your offense out. Okay, worst case scenario. Did we do this already?
For
the offense. We didn't do this yet.
We did not do it for the
offense. I'm blanking out. Offense, worst case scenario. I'll go first. Worst case scenario for the offense would be flashbacks. You ready for this?
Uh-oh.
Three and outs. Not converting on third down.
Yeah.
The same stuff we saw last year. That would not be good. Now, I understand this is a preseason game, right? It's not going to look like...
It's not going to look clean like a regular season.
It's not going to be crispy like my white tee this morning. Now it's all wrinkly and dirty and stuff. But it's not going to be crispy. But you still want to see the offense execute in certain situations, especially situations where they were not good in last year. And last year, they were not the best on third down. So worst case scenario would be we get to third down and we're like 1 for 6, 1 for 7, 2 for 10. You got to be around 50% on third downs for this offense to move the rock.
Worst case scenario for me, I'm going to say, I guess outside of injury, maybe your offensive line just is not looking in sync, or they just aren't looking like they're ready for the moment. That's going to be one for me where it's like, this could be a problem down the road, because we know what bad O-line play looks like here in Seattle. We've seen it a lot over the years, which is unfortunate, especially considering how much the Seahawks rely upon their run game. And to me, I think O-line play is going to be massive this season, especially when you're working in two rookie tackles. Worst case scenario is going to be, you know, quarterbacks on their back, running lanes not opening up. That to me is going to be the worst case scenario in week one of the preseason. Now, this is all outside of injury. Now, if guys go down, that's going to be rough. If we're seeing guys that are being tasked with leading with carrying the load this year, man, you don't want to see that happen. That to me is going to be goal number one of preseason action, is just get through it healthy. You don't want to lose anybody that you're relying too heavily upon.
Oh man, health, that's the scary part about football, about any sport, especially during games that don't matter. You never want to see anybody go down. You also want to see them execute. It's a tricky game that you have to play in any sport, but especially a sport as violent as the NFL. Hey, reminder, with the Seahawks taking on the Steelers in their preseason opener tomorrow on 710, you can watch the Mariners versus the Rangers game in its entirety on 770 KTTH. Mariners pregame coverage starts at 3. First pitch is at 4:15 on 770 KTTH. It is time to get to four down territory.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
Before we get to Four Down Territory coming up at 1:30, we're going to go over this Mariners-Rangers series. Mariners make an interesting roster move today. DFA and Ken Giles, we'll talk about that later on. Also, their lineup. It's a full lineup today, Bump. We'll take a look at that up in 15 minutes. But right now in four down territory, first down, Bill Belichick and the Patriots had Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. Neither of those guys, who have been classic offensive coordinators, calling the offense last night. Have you ever seen a situation like this before?
Never in my 36 years have I seen anything like this. But I've also learned that you just got to go whatever Bill Belichick wants to do. It makes sense to him. If it makes sense to him, then I'm going to try to have it make sense to me. But this is wild. This is like having a two quarterback system. I've never really seen it work in high school. I've seen it work a little bit in college, not really. In the NFL, I haven't even seen it attempted. But with two offensive coordinators, that means or two guys calling the plays, or not offensive coordinators, because Belichick will not name one. Two guys calling plays, that means Mac Jones has two different thought processes in his ear. Unless they are completely aligned on the same page, this has to be a little bit confusing for Mac Jones. But Mac Jones did have a great rookie season. He was a Pro Bowler. Nearly 70% completion rate for this young man. He can get it done. So, also, this makes me believe that Bill Belichick don't trust nobody. At least he don't trust them. If it ain't if it ain't Josh McDaniels, he ain't really trusting anybody. This is an interesting situation.
And if you've noticed, whenever it's the offensive coordinator job in New England, he always picks one of those guys that has left and now has come back. Both Matt Patricia, I like to call him Matty Patty, and Joe Judge left to go become head coaches elsewhere. They're back. Josh McDaniels left to go become Denver's head coach. He came back. Now he's the Raiders head coach. I think Bill just likes to surround himself with guys that he knows and guys that he knows their tendencies of. I could never see Bill Belichick going out and hiring the like flashy, new, hot offensive coordinator guy from the Sean McVay coaching tree. That is not Bill Belichick's game. That will never be Bill Belichick's.
Old school Bill. Old school.
Second down. Bump, Josh Allen says he will prioritize autographs for kids ahead of adults. You good with that?
Yeah, I'm good with prioritizing. You got to give the kids their love. They look up to you. They want to be Josh Allen. They're going to go to school and say, Josh Allen signed my football, my jersey. They're going to talk about it. But please don't sleep on the adults, man. Like, who took these kids to practice? Who takes them to school? Who bought them that jersey? Who bought them that football? I understand. Give the kids some love. But unless a adult is being rude or obnoxious, because it can be like that sometimes. I've seen adults be entitled, like, you have to sign this for me. No, he's doing you a favor. So unless the adult is being one of those guys, I say you got to show them some love, too. But now you know. All you adults out there, show up with a kid, give your kid your merchandise, and Josh Allen will sign it for you. Don't you go asking for no autographs.
You see this, like, six-year-old kid carrying binders of Josh Allen cards and, like, four jerseys, a couple hats.
Exactly.
Like, can you sign this? This is all mine. It's like, I don't know about that.
That ain't you, dog.
Meanwhile, you can see an adult in the back, like, hey, get him in the front. Get him in the front. Third down. Bump, the Ravens have won not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six games in a row in the preseason. They've won 21 straight preseason games.
Crazy.
Dating back to the 2015 season. How impressive is this win streak?
It's impressive. Anytime you win anything 21 times in a row. Ask my son. I beat him in chess like 30 times in a row before he beat me. It felt great. And that's more like a preseason game because it means absolutely nothing. It's just bragging rights. So it's impressive that they won 21 games in a row, but this isn't something like people actually try to do. The preseason, it's not about wins and losses. It's about evaluation. So they've been able to evaluate a lot of guys who didn't make the team. Most guys who play in preseason don't make the team. But they've been able to win 21 times. So the positive about that is they can coach. They can get guys to play, to understand their scheme, and to execute. But it don't really mean anything. It's nice to say, I guess. But now, low-key, I'm going to be rooting for them to lose now. I just want to break the streak. Am I a hater? Just break the streak.
Who do they play next? Let's take a look. Well, their last preseason loss was back on September 3rd of 2015, a 20-19 loss to the Atlanta Falcons, which wrapped up a 1-3 preseason for the Ravens, but ever since then, they've gone undefeated over the course of, this is year 7 now of this streak?
Yeah.
Does it get in their head now? Like, hey, we've won 21 in a row. We can't lose number one. We got to get to number 22.
If they lose and I see anyone sad about this, I'm just going to laugh. All right, bro, it means absolutely nothing. How did you perform? That's what matters. Did you make the cut? Because you know cuts are coming.
Fourth down. Bump, what do you absolutely need to see Saturday when the Seahawks take on the Steelers?
Ball security. I need the quarterbacks to take care of the football. I'm not concerned about winning. I don't want to see a bunch of interceptions. There was a practice where Geno fumbled the ball about two or three times with a center to quarterback exchange. I don't want to see running backs putting the football on the ground. I don't want it to look extremely sloppy. I understand what a preseason game is. It's an audition. You got a bunch of guys out there who aren't going to make the team, who aren't going to really play together. Like, you're mixing and matching a bunch of guys at a bunch of different positions. But that doesn't mean that it should be completely sloppy. Doesn't mean the football should be on the ground. Take care of the rock. We know Pete Carroll is all about the football. The last thing you want to do is get this man upset. Take care of the rock, please.
Protect the rock. It's all about the ball. That's exactly what Pete Carroll would. That all about the ball will probably be on like his gravestone.
Yeah. It's a song. All about the ball. All about the ball. Win forever. Compete.
That's what you need to know about.
That's going
to
be Pete in a nutshell right there. Yeah. I just want to see the defense. I said it before. Just be violent. Get back to who you were. You don't have to be the Legion of Boom. You can be whatever you want to be. I just want you to be extremely violent when it comes to playing this game. All right, what's on tap? Powered by Madden Industrial Craftsman. The Seahawks get their preseason schedule underway tomorrow night against the Steelers. Pregame will start at 2 p.m. Kick up 2 p.m. I'll be hosting the pregame with my guys. But kickoff is at 4 p.m. on Seattle Sports Station. When we return, we will give you an M's preview against the Texas Rangers tonight. That's coming up on the Bump and Stacey Show here on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacey.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Welcome back to the Bump and Stacey Show. I'm sitting here with Curtis Rogers. We got Robic on the ones and twos. And now we're going to preview the Mariners versus the Texas Rangers. Today's lineup, we got Julio Rodriguez, Ty France, Mitch Haniger, Jesse Winker, Suarez, Santana, Frazier, Raleigh, and J.P. Crawford. It looks like the gang is getting back together.
That's a deep lineup. That's a lineup that I think you can say is a major league lineup for sure. I can't remember a time this season when we saw it 1-9 that full. And we've seen J.P. Crawford all throughout the lineup.
He's been everywhere.
He has been. He's at the very bottom today, and I don't think that's a shot at all at J.P. Crawford, the hitter. I think that just says that you've got everybody back. You've got guys that are where they should be in the lineup. It's a luxury to have somebody like J.P. out of the ninth spot and to have Cal Raleigh where he is and to have Carlos Santana. By the way, I think we may be getting Jake Lamb in the next couple of minutes, Mariners infielder.
So, all right.
There's a potential for that over the next couple of minutes, so make sure you're staying near. But there's the lineup today looking really, really stout. But also, Ken Giles gets DFA'd, which I think is a surprise move, considering that he was brought in on a two-year deal last year, only pitched in five games with the Mariners. That is going to be an interesting development in that bullpen, but I think it speaks to how good the bullpen has been right now, where there's just simply not enough room for him.
That's a great problem to have. It's unfortunate for Giles, but it's a good problem to have that when you look at this bullpen, you look at this rotation, you're like, you know, we're in a good place. And honestly, I look at this lineup and
I think we've got Jake Lamb on the line.
We got him. Jake, are you there? How you doing?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey, welcome back, man. Welcome to Seattle.
Well, I mean, you're from here, so welcome back home.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, born and raised in Seattle, so it's a childhood dream come true.
Jake, I imagine you having rooted for the Mariners as a kid and now being a part of this organization, that's got to be just a childhood dream come true. And as all Mariners fans know, this organization has missed out on the playoffs for a couple decades now. What would it mean to you just as a kid growing up as a Mariners fan to be part of the team that puts an end to that streak?
It would mean a lot. You know, like you said, I remember being, 11 years old the last time the Mariners made it into the postseason with that 2001 team. I recently moved in 2018. I moved to AZ, but I still spend a lot of time in Seattle in the off season. My family, my wife's family are both in Seattle. And so I just know how much it means to the city. It means a lot, you know, in this, you know, just in my short time being here for that Angels series and then that Yankees series. I mean, the amount of people that are coming out to the games, the energy in the stadium, it's special, man, and it's real. And this team's really good. This team has what it takes pitching, the defense, some timely hitting. It's just a lot of fun to be a part of.
Hey, Jake, you're a big dude, man. 6'3", 215. When you went to Bishop Blanchet, did you ever play football or think about playing football?
You should. I wish I had the picture of me as a freshman in high school. I was the exact opposite. I was the smallest dude on the team. I played freshman football. I didn't play my sophomore year because I was worried of, getting killed out there on the field. But then I played my junior and senior year. I started working out 4 or 5 days a week, started taking baseball serious. So I dropped basketball so I could work out during basketball season and play football and baseball. But I wasn't really any good. Baseball was definitely my thing. But I enjoyed football for, the toughness aspect of, getting my butt kicked a little bit as far as, getting hit, learning how to tackle, all that stuff. I had fun. But no, I wasn't really that good. Can't lie to you.
Jake, you had obviously one of the best views of the craziness of the last couple of days in that series against the Yankees, that Tuesday night game especially, going deep into extra innings. What was it like to be a part of that atmosphere, and where does that game match up in some of the best that you've ever played in?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd love to sit here and say, our lineup was killing it, scoring runs, but it was just a bad night to have a bat in your hand on both sides. I mean, the pitching that ran out there that night with Castillo and Cole, I mean, both just had electric stuff, not giving anyone really anything to hit. And then that carried over into both bullpens. Obviously we made some, whether you want to call it base running mistakes or just good heads up defense on our part, we're able to get out of some tight jams, and then Louis came through for us and with that big hit. But I mean, once again, just seeing how packed that stadium was into the 12th inning, it was just really, really special. It was great energy in the stadium.
Jake, the motto for this team has been good vibes only. When you joined the squad,
yes, sir.
Is that what you felt? Did you feel the good vibes?
Yeah, and that's all I'm bringing, man. I love the positive energy, and this team has a lot of it. This team has a lot of fun. Skip is always preaching, keep having fun. That's when we play our best, and I love that because that should be number one is having fun in the locker room, taking it out to BP, staying loose. And just playing ball, man, and having fun with it. I know we're naturally going to be looking at standings and everything and who's where, but at the end of the day, if we can just have fun and play our game, like I said, this is a really good team we have here. And, it's been fun, and it's going to continue to be fun to be a part of.
Jake, what was that first night for you like at T-Mobile Park wearing that Mariners uniform? I imagine you probably had a lot of family in the stands just realizing that dream of yours as a kid. What was that moment like for you?
Oh, it was cool. My family was in Priest Lake, Idaho on their yearly vacation there, and they get 1 week out of the year, and of course the 1 week where I get traded to Seattle and they want to see me for the first game. So they came back a little early, a few days early, but got to see my parents, my wife, sister and brother at BP. And, I was able to get in, get a hit, end up scoring a run to, tie the game. And yeah, it was just, unfortunately we don't win the game, but like that whole day was just, it's when it really hit me, wearing the teal jerseys, my favorite, probably my favorite all time jersey. So it was cool. It was really special.
Hey, Jake, where's your wife from? Did you meet her here in college, or how'd that relationship start?
She's from Mukilteo.
Okay.
We went to high school together. We didn't date in high school, but we've known each other, same group of friends for, since the high school years. So, so it's obviously really cool for her because she has a lot of friends here too. Her family's here. It's just really cool all around.
Now, Jake, my co-host is a Washington State Cougar alum, played on their football team for a number of years. You're obviously a Husky. I mean, That rivalry between the Huskies and Cougs, do you have any trash talk you'd like to send my co-host Michael Bumpus' way here?
I mean, my whole family's Cougars. My brother.
Atta baby.
Wow.
My sister. Yeah. Uncle. You know, I got me and my little bro are the only Huskies. So it's I'm kind of used to it, you know. But it was, you know, playing baseball, you don't feel the rivalry as much just because I grew up playing with a bunch of guys on those Cougar baseball teams. It's obviously Apple Cup season and football season when the real trash talk comes out. But, yeah, man, I always have fun with the Apple Cup, trash talk with family members. It's seems like it starts beginning of the season and doesn't stop until we determine a winner. So it's always fun.
Man, Jake, I commend anybody who played baseball and went over to the Palouse and played in that cold, man. I played football in that cold and it was rough. So I tip my cap to you, sir.
Yeah. Those are some tough hitting series when it's that cold and you can't feel your hands, but you're trying to, you know, sneak out some hits. But yeah, like I said, those are always fun just because a lot of those guys in those teams that I played against grew up playing summer ball and travel ball with. And so it was hard to hate the guys and hate the team when you know you were friends with all of them. That's what I saved that for the Oregon Ducks. The Oregon Ducks baseball series. That's where I couldn't stand any of those guys.
Hey, Jake, well, we appreciate you taking time out of your day. You guys go ahead and get it done tonight. And
yes, sir.
Man, it's been a pleasure. Have a good one, sir.
Thank you, Jake.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
All right. This hour of the Bump and Stacy show is brought to you by Mazda of Everett. Seattle Sports has a new name. It also has a new number. Give us a call or send a text at 866-979-3776. Again, that number is 866-979-3776. For a phone call or a text to the Mac and Jack's text line, update your contacts and stay connected to the latest on Seattle Sports. When we return, we'll put a bow on this thing. It's what you need to know. Send us text right now, 866-979-3776. That's coming up next on the Bump and Stacy Show.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bumpin' Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
What is up? This is the Bumpin' Stacy Show. The last segment of the day, Curtis has been honed it down with me. We got Brady on the ones and twos. We're sending you in to the weekend properly.
Yes, a stacked weekend.
Stacked.
We've got a short Wyman and Bob coming up following us. Ryan Roland Smith in for Wyman, who's in transit to Pittsburgh right now.
Nice.
Because he'll be on the call of the Seahawks-Steelers game.
He's mad, though.
Why is that?
Because he didn't fly with the team. He got to fly commercial.
No!
He's got to fly
probably
commercial.
Got a middle seat, back of the plane. Poor Wyman.
What I need to know, Curtis Rogers,
yes,
is better burger. Zips or Dick's?
Zips is like Eastern Washington, right?
Yeah. It's back in the Palouse, baby.
Yeah.
You never had Zips?
I can't say that I ever have. Dick's is pretty good.
You've never had Zips?
I've never had Zips.
Come on,
I haven't spent a ton of time in Eastern Washington. I am born and raised out here in the Pacific Northwest in Western Washington in the Puget Sound area in Kent, a kid from Kent.
I'm taking you to the Apple Cup.
All right, let's go.
We're going to the Apple Cup.
Let's go.
You're going to wear crimson? You're going to wear crimson?
Would I? I would go neutral. I would
neutral.
Just wear a Nike hat. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Here's a what I need to know.
But I'm always down to find the newest, best burger around.
Yeah.
That is a lifelong passion of mine, is eating burgers.
I'm taking you to Zips, and I'm taking you to Cougar Country. That, right. Oh, my goodness gracious. Goodness gracious.
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right.
we'll explain to our wives, look, we're just going to go get burgers. We'll be right back.
We'll be back in 12 hours.
Yeah, in 12 hours.
All right. You sit tight. All right. What I need to know here, Rogers, is Bama or Ohio State?
In terms of like
football,
who I would pick?
Who would you root for? Bama or Ohio State?
For?
Yeah,
I am going to pick Alabama of
Bama.
The two. Yeah, the Buckeyes. I mentioned this to you in show prep. I had a little affinity for Michigan growing up, like the Charles Woodson teams. Those were a lot of fun, and Charles Woodson was incredible. One of the greatest college football players I've ever seen. So with that, I just never really came around to Ohio State.
Okay.
So I would go Alabama. Of the two, I mean, this is like picking between Red Sox and Yankees. What would you pick?
I'd go Ohio State just because I know a couple of athletes over there. So I go Ohio State. Mm-hmm. All right, what I need to know, because I know he's listening right now, Moyer or Wyman?
Oh, no. Well, Moyer gets a strike because he's an ASU alum.
Facts.
He's a scum devil.
Oh, that was easy. That's easy then. That's
easy. It's Dave Wyman. I love Paul. I really do. I love Wyman. But I don't have a built-in reason to dislike Wyman the way I do with Paul. Even though I love Paul Moyer, he's one of the great personalities of the Seahawks pre and post game show. he would absolutely give me the exact kind of hard time I'm giving him right now.
Just follow him on Twitter. He gives it out to everybody.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's everybody. Never been one to shy away from that.
I'm actually going to read you the text that he just sent me.
Uh-oh.
He goes, "Come on, man." I can't even read it. Never mind.
He got zips.
There's something I can't read. Zips in the Palouse is like the Four Seasons in Seattle. That's the best you got.
Oh, wow.
Look at him. Look at him.
Okay.
All right. What I need to know, which undrafted rookies have impressed you the most?
On the Seahawks roster right now?
Yep.
Hasn't Cody Thompson been getting a lot of run with the wide receivers? Who would you say is the most
impressive rookie? I would say
undrafted rookie.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I can't even lie. You know what? Shamarius Gilmore, I believe his name is, the offensive lineman. I would say he has probably been the most impressive. And thank you for asking about the undrafted rookies, man. I was one of those guys. Yeah. They don't get a lot of love.
This one, what I need to know, you get free food for life at your choice of these four restaurants: Chipotle, Popeyes, Subway, or Wendy's. What are you picking? I know my answer.
Chipotle all day.
Really?
Chipotle.
Oh, I'm going Popeyes.
You going Popeyes?
Oh, I'm absolutely going Popeyes. Their sandwich is the greatest fast food sandwich out there.
I've never had it.
Facts only in terms of fast food, in terms of like national chain fast food. Their chicken sandwich is ridiculous. Another one, 206. Hey, Bump, growing up, did you watch wrestling? If so, who was your favorite?
If you smell what the Rock is cooking all day.
Like
Thursday
that.
Night SmackDown.
I like that.
That's like my extent of wrestling, though. Just the
Attitude
Rock.
Era, for sure, was the most popular, best era of wrestling. Plus, you had the rivalry with WCW. You were either WWF at the time or WCW. I was Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold,
you hear the glass shatter.
Yeah, yeah.
Suddenly, everybody's looking around. Oh, no.
The knee braces.
Yeah. He just comes stumbling out.
The jean shorts.
Oh,
man.
Incredible.
He was the man, dude.
Let's see here. This one is from the 509. They want to know, is the national media overhyping the Broncos this season?
Most definitely. Most definitely. They are overhyping them. Now, they do have a good quarterback. You cannot lie. If you are calling Russell Wilson garbage, then I question everything about you, because he is a good football player. Now,
yes.
Was the relationship kind of severed a bit? Yeah, probably. It's time to move on to do some other things. But I think they are overhyped, especially because they play in a really tough division. The best division in football, I believe.
Yeah, I agree that they are getting overhyped. I don't think it's going to be as smooth sailing as I think a lot of people kind of think it will be. You add a former All-Pro quarterback to that Broncos roster. Yeah, I mean, that's ideal, but this Broncos team has not won in a long time. There are a lot of guys on this roster that don't know what it's like to play winning football.
Right.
And that kind of becomes a part of you as players, where, like, for whatever reason, you can't shake it. Now, Russell Wilson knows how to win. He's won a lot in his career. He's won at every stop along the way in his career. So maybe that mindset, that mentality is able to change the culture in Denver right now. But it's so much easier to win on paper than it is to actually win on the football field every single week. I don't know if that is going to be the move that puts Denver back amongst the contenders. They may need a little bit more help.
They may need a bit more, and I hope they need more on a Monday. I appreciate you guys and your texts and all that stuff. It's been real. That is What I Need to Know, brought to you by Allard Heating, Cooling, and Electric. It's been real. It's been real, Rogers. We'll do this again on Monday. Stacey is gone. She's in outer space. But coming up next, you have Wyman and Bob, two of the greatest in the game. It's been real. We'll talk to you guys later.